Use math to make the world a better place. Become an actuary through the Society of Actuaries and find solutions to the world's most pressing challenges. As an actuary, the only thing higher than the pay is the satisfaction.
In the dark, I fed my dreams. Purple coats of love like sweet springs. I'm the daddy breath the North Sea. Great in the world like it's meant to be. I'm a coach of B.I.O.B. I'm the king. Back in love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 395 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes. Oh, yeah, good to be here with y'all. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Azure Standard, yeah. Food for Health 15 will get you 15% off for any order for any new customers with orders over $100. So they're our number one sponsor to the Sovereign Health Summit. So, yeah, you know, if you break bread, they won't fake dead. You know what I'm talking about? Plus, for all your preparedness needs, especially with the way things are going on in this world right now. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, if you're going to look, we've done videos, William and I have done videos on how you can live some. What was it for like $100? You could live for 72 days or something like that.
Somewhere between 71 and 73 days. Yeah. I think there was a half in there somewhere too.
Yeah, I want to say the same thing. Now that was getting stuff off the shelf over at Sam's Club. Look, you find yourself in a survival position. The last thing you're going to want is fortified rice from Sam's. Now that was like the bargain basement way of doing it, folks. I don't do it that way. We don't do it that way. Not anymore. We have in the past, but we don't do it that way anymore. I am going to buy the very best I can afford. And think about it. If you're in a high stress situation, do you want low quality food? I know I don't. So for all my preparedness needs, Azure Standard is exactly who we go to. And honestly, for all of our other needs as well, I would rather give them my money than give it to Whole Foods, who here in Asheville has got a trans testicle around every counter. So
you're not wrong.
No. I mean, and honestly, all the other things they support. Last time I went through there, I remember sending that picture over to Pastor Lon, where they scan your palm. You can scan your palm at the exit. And I was like, am I seeing this? No, man, I'm not going to support these people. If I can. Now there are times where, you know, you're in a pinch, you got to go buy something. Maybe you didn't plan well, you just ain't got it. So Azure's the way I get around all that. So anyway, new customers for orders over $100, Food for Health 15, they will get you squared away. How you doing out there, son?
Pretty good. It warmed back up. I think the low for tonight is like 50s, but I didn't mention this. I think previous podcast, we had like a 50 degree temperature difference in less than a 12-hour period. Like the winds blew in, it froze everything. I got comfrey suffering. I got cabbage suffering. Luckily, I dug up my moringa, and it looks like a couple of them are going to survive. But yeah, we had like a 50-degree drop in less than 12 hours.
Wow. Want to thank everybody in the live house tonight, because I don't think we put out the announcement on YouTube. But anyway, look, the right people, the good Lord's going to lead the right people to this podcast, and that's all I'm worried about. Because, man, they are playing games like nobody's business. But, yes, and we had the same exact thing happen here for one day, and Dane Wigington talked about it. Man, I really need to give Dane a call. I got his numbers. And every time I talk to the guy, man, he's just beside himself with grief. I mean, he's just so beside himself with grief because he watches this stuff. I don't know how he does it, to be honest with you. Every single day they're dropping this garbage from the sky. Even on what people think are blue days, they aren't blue. They're light blue. They're not the deep. You want to see a deep blue, go to Dr. Jack Cruz's X channel. Look at the video that he put out this morning down in El Salvador. Okay? One of the people we had on the show, I can't think of her name right now. She monitors this stuff like Dane does, but she looks
Ariana Masters.
Yeah, Ariana. We've had her on. I mean, you look at her last video. She's like, man, what's happening over the United States is an absolute crime. I mean, Central America isn't getting hit. All of Africa isn't getting hit. And the only country in the Middle East that isn't getting hit is Israel with chemtrails. Huh. Does that seem like a bunch of coincidences to you, son?
Some of those Middle Eastern countries are like, yeah, we'd like it for it to rain every 2 weeks, like Dubai. Some of them are like, hey, yeah, we want this.
Well, it's not just rain that they're causing in some of these places. Like in Iran, they're causing droughts. And they've gone in front of the UN and talked about this very thing, that they are causing droughts. And we've seen it, well, like where Dane Wigington lives in Northern California. I mean, they've been without rain forever and a day. And then when they do get it, it's such a flash flood type situation that nothing ever really sinks in. So it's a... we are in a perilous place and in perilous times. So, look, y'all, I was wrong about a number of things regarding my predictions for the end of 2025. Thank God I was wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to celebrate that. But I'm going to redo everything for 2026. So what I mean by that is some of the grim... I don't know that it's, I mean, nobody knows for sure how it's going to unfold, but I was right about a few things, you know, silver going through the roof, which it has, and it's probably going to go much, much higher. You know, some of the other things I predicted, or I didn't predict anything. I just, you know, kind of thought it would unfold that way. I guess you can call that a prediction, but anyway, I'm glad to be wrong about so much of it, but a lot of it, I said we wouldn't recognize this country by the end of 2025. Well, maybe I'm going to redo that for 2026 because it is crazy.
Well, so anyway, that being said, I think a lot of stuff went on behind the scenes in preparation for a lot of what we predicted. Like, I don't know if anybody notices recently, like Trump got together with like the 10 kings to divide up Gaza for profit.
How about that?
Yeah, that's, he didn't get that number from anywhere. Like, it didn't just appear. It's not just some made up number. That's a direct relation to scripture. So I think people still need to be paying attention. Just because we got 2025 wrong doesn't mean the information is wrong. It's just the timeline was a little bit off.
Well, you can tell that this whole thing is coming apart at the seam. And now, you know, YouTube is even coming down even more. I mean, they took down, we just got notice that they took down an interview that we did with, John Richardson over at Richardson Nutrition Center, talking about things that last time we talked about, they banned us for 2 weeks, something that goes a long way in healing. And they're one of our, if you look at our description page down below, you're going to find out what that is. I can't even tell you what it is, folks. And it grows on trees. How crazy is that? So, I mean, your mom and I, seriously, man, we just sat here and had a conversation. I was sitting down eating dinner. I was almost late getting in here because I was out there, you know, doing work in the yard, hurry up, try to swallow some food and then get up here. And she's like, man, I am ready to just pack it up and move out of this country. I mean, if this is how we're going to be treated, I mean, like you said, you know, what was it? $8.7 billion just got reallocated to build jets for Israel. We're paying for it. And now you got people talking about a tax revolt. I'm with that. I'm totally with that. I'm already with it. So,
y'all catch up.
Yeah. Yeah. So folks, I mean, I truly hope it happens. I mean, but honestly, at this point, there are these people that are so politically polarized. They don't care I'm going to say a lot of things in this show that people aren't going to like to hear. I guarantee it, but I'm going to say one right now. At this point, I wish Kamala Harris would have gotten elected. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because patriots would not have put up with any of this had it been somebody from the other camp. But because your guy's doing it, remember, y'all, I'm a political atheist. I got no criticism when I was coming down on Biden like a ton of bricks. I called that dude everything but a child of God. Nobody said anything to me. Now I'm doing the same thing about Trump because the shoe fits. And wow, then everybody's like, oh, I don't like you anymore. And the first response to everybody is, would you rather have Kamala? Yeah, at this point, I really would. I honestly would have preferred Kamala Harris at this point. I know that's not popular to say, but since when do I care? I'm going to tell you exactly how I see it, because the same people that are acquiescing to our, what do you think the Patriots in this country, son, would have done if the first day if upon raising the hand and swearing to whatever they were holding there, it probably wasn't the Bible. After swearing in, the first thing you do is give a $500 billion to oligarchs. Half a trillion with a T, y'all. That's 1,000 billions. Okay? You give $500 billion to oligarchs to put us under this greater panopticon, people would have lost their ever-loving minds. And the same so-called patriots, and that's why I say a so-called patriot. Remember with Mark Twain, in the beginning of a change, a patriot is scorned and mocked. As his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. Okay, I don't think anybody could have said it any better, but those same patriots that would have lost their minds if Kamala Harris was doing any of this are absolutely on board. Oh, well, this is 5D chess. What are your thoughts, son?
Gay and fake. All of it. I mean, I have a different perspective on the founding fathers and stuff like that. So
I do too.
Well, yeah, I'm sure I've assumed that was one of the topics you were going to bring up today. So I didn't.
No, I didn't. I didn't actually.
Oh, okay.
Well, if we got an overflow list, maybe that's one we'll bring up.
You know, at least the founding fathers would have made sure there was land involved. There's a land grant involved at the same time this trillions are going over to foreign nations. But I think probably they would have all been put to death. Like whoever's making these deals with foreign nations and making sure that, you know, these other nations are getting an income. Colleen Bowman said, William, have you listened to Tony's and Joel and Mabry's episode about the Little Season theology? I haven't listened to that episode, but I have, like, Satan's Little Season. I have heard that theory before, and the issue that I have with that theory is, like, literally none of the promises of the kingdom have happened. So it seems out of order to me for this to be, like, Satan's Little Season. Little Season after the millennial reign and everything like that. I just don't see that. There's a whole lot you have to ignore and you have to skip in order for you to get to the us being in Satan's Little Season right now. So do you have any thoughts on that, Dad?
Well, I haven't listened to that episode yet, so I'll reserve judgment until I check it out. I haven't checked it out yet. So I'm a little bit behind on a lot of, in fact, as far as podcasts go, y'all, when I'm working out here and I'm doing my work every day, honestly, I shifted a lot of what I'm listening to right now. If it's not self-help in a big, big way, I'm really not doing a whole lot of listening. I go through these phases where, you know, I find myself, and I think a lot of you out there might do the same, where you find yourself listening to a pattern of things, and I'm like, okay, I got to change it up. And so that's why I have so many shows that I'm subscribed to. So I'm listening, basically, I'm catching up on all of Ed Milet's shows, which are absolutely fantastic. And I'm catching up on Gary Brecka and Jack Cruz and a whole lot of other people out there. So I'm really at that point now where I've had too much. I got to titrate a lot of the bad that I take in, because I gotta pay attention because I do this show. So I'm well aware of what's going on in the world. I'm just, I can get a good feel for the bottom and then just pull myself away from it. Whereas in the past, I may spend sometimes an entire day getting multiple perspectives. So not really doing that right now. So, that's kind of how I'm rolling right now. Mountainside with Ken and Amy. Go check them out. Y'all go subscribe. They're in the house as well. So like I said, this episode, just be forewarned, y'all. I don't know what William's going to talk about because I didn't compare notes with him, but I'm probably going to say a number of things here that many of you might find distasteful.
Same.
And remember what I said before. You can tell the mark of a thinking person by being able to bring up any discussion, any point of view without necessarily agreeing or disagreeing with it. I'm just telling you my perspective. Yours might very well be different. And if you guys want to, as we get into it, if you want to put in the chat what your thoughts are, what your, you know, the things you no longer believe, by all means, do it. So I'm going to cover this real quick because I want to get into the nuts and bolts of this. So on to the farm news, which I can't believe I spent this long getting into it. I'll just kind of put it all under one, and then I'll toss it over to you, son. So, yeah, they didn't chemtrail us entirely to death. They're doing it at night, every night. I was just talking to T at Mountain Readiness. And he's like, dude, I'm out there. He had to get up for something at 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, dude, they're putting grid patterns at night. And then the next day, it's a light blue, which I would have thought here in these mountains, everybody would have noticed that for 30 solid days, it was the bluest blue you ever saw in your life here in Western North Carolina. And then everybody went back to thinking this opaque light blue is the way it's supposed to be. No, folks, they're still spraying this garbage day and night. And my wife has about had enough of it, and frankly, so have I. Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, my ship comes in, I might have to wind up getting some Stinger missiles. So anyway, it was enough sun.
Dad.
Just keeping it real, son. So there's the one strike. Today I had enough sun where I can get out there with no clothes on and lay in the sun, you know, for, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half. So I was out there filling boxes. I got some metal boxes out there that are 2 feet tall, considerably taller than the ones that I previously had. So it's going to be a bigger growing. Look, folks, I don't trust the dollar. So any disposable money I have is going into buying real things. So in this case, the metal I'm buying is, you know, steel. These steel boxes, they were relatively inexpensive, but it makes for a much deeper medium for me to grow, you know, better root crops, deeper root crops. And honestly, it's an easy way for me to be able to grow a whole lot of food and upgrade what I had out there because it was starting to rot away. So filling boxes with, right now I'm using topsoil that I'm buying from a place in town. I'm leaning away from buying their so-called compost because it's garbage. So I'm buying topsoil, which is a lot heavier. And look, folks, you go out there and fill these boxes, you'll know what I'm talking about. So filling them up with topsoil, considerably cheaper too, but I can transform all that. I know I can do it through my own stuff. So yeah, topsoil. And then I was going to try to get some weed eating done, but that didn't happen. So I was out there pretty much all day, busting my back doing that and leaving out. Feels like there's just so, I know everybody takes, not everybody, but most people I know of take off in the winter. I don't know how people do because things just pile up. I mean, I got a whole nest of things that need done. And I'm sure a lot of other folks do too, but this is work I love. And I just wish I could do it not being under an ionized sky every single day. So with that said, son, I'll kick it on over to you.
Yeah, these taking off in the winter does not apply, especially if you live in Texas. Man, I would kill for some longer days right now, just like more sun outside. And because there's a lot of outdoor work that I need to get done that just, it's like before you know it, it's already dark out. Like it's getting dark at 5 o'clock right now, which is still later than some people are going through right now. But yeah, I would kill for some longer days. But today was largely like a preparation day. I went to the gym earlier today and I've come up with an idea. I'm going to put up flyers all over the gym of just dogging people who don't re-rack their weights.
Oh,
like, like if you don't re-rack your, like right in front of the squat rack where people bench, it's like, if you don't re-rack your weights, you got a tiny pee-pee, or like, this is the reason your wife left, or like just dogging these people. And it's two types of people that I've noticed that don't re-rack their weights. It's the middle-aged man who thinks he makes too much money to re-rack his weights. And it's the woman, like maybe middle-aged, late 20s woman who thinks she's too hot to re-rack her weights and like face full of Botox and lip fillers and stuff like that. That's what I've noticed at this gym. Anyway, so I cleaned up the gym today. I did an Andy Frazella and I went through and cleaned up the weights on the gym because every piece of equipment I was trying to use all was just covered in miscellaneous weights. And it's not like they can't even make the argument that they were lifting heavy and they just got tired and couldn't re-rack the weights. They had like, I think the heaviest weight that I saw was 135 pounds on the squat rack. It was like 45 on each side of the bar. Anyway, that was a whole frustrating moment that I had earlier today. But yeah, I'm gonna put up flyers in the gym, and I'm gonna do a Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec and leave my name and phone number underneath it if they have any complaints about my flyers. And then yeah, preparation day, I'm about to harvest a bunch of comfrey and then film those propagation videos. I'm gonna do a series on comfrey of like propagation, how to use it, like ways to use it, both like medicinally and then on the farm and stuff like that, and then how you can use it in your garden as well. And then I got back into permaculture Q&A. So I spent a decent amount of time collecting permaculture Q&A questions. And if you guys don't know, permaculture Q&A is where I answer your guys' questions from the comment section in the videos. So if you guys have any questions, like you can either send them to me in email or you can leave them in the comment section of any of my recent videos with the hashtag or # permaculture Q&A. And I'll be sure to answer that in future videos. But that's... that's a lot of what I got done today. And you guys are harvesting comfrey, right?
Yeah, yeah. We, your mom is out there. It's odd because we shouldn't be getting any this time of year, but we are. And your mom is still. So if you want to go to the website, y'all, I think there's some over there for some, you know, for the people that are so inclined. But normally we just kind of, you know, end things like a month ago, if not sooner. So yeah, it's kind of crazy all that's going on, but there's nothing that's normal anymore. So yes, and you know, I was thinking maybe you ought to tell that gym, hey man, why don't you guys knock some off my price every month if I'm in here? What about the gym attendant? Are they doing it? They should.
There is none. There is none. This it's set up so where like you have your key fob, and there's one lady who comes in like once a week to clean, but there's no gym attendant. It's just it has like a automatic lock at the front door, and then it's like an honor system type thing.
I've seen it all the way across the board when it comes to that, man. I've seen young people do it. That's been the ones I've mostly seen do it, is that because I was working out for a while over here at the college. They just leave stuff laying around, and it tells you a lot about their mind. It tells you everything you need to know about that person if that's what you do. If you are so trifling that you can't put up your own weights, it tells me every single thing. And you know, as I get older, man, I'm paying more attention to what people do way more than what they say these days. And, you know, there's a whole lot of people out there that are more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. And frankly, I just, I'm trying to avoid those people. I'm just asking the good Lord to keep putting good people in front of me, a lot of them right here in this podcast, and remove me from the ones that are users. There's a whole lot of people out there that there's a lot of great ones. But you're going to have to remember, narrow is the way. Well, that also applies, I think, to people. There are very few people out there who are content to do what's right in so many different ways. And as things fall off the rails in this country, man, I think it's just getting worse. So with that said, Sovereign Health Summit, that's going to be coming up October 27th through the 31st. TPC will get you 5% off, folks. We can't give you any more than that. I think Amber got up the volunteer page for anybody that's local here that wants to volunteer. You know, just go over there, apply, and we'll get you squared away. It's going to be 5 days with Barbara O'Neill and a number of other people out there. And some of those people are going to be talking about, we brought in people that are filling in the gaps of things that Barbara doesn't talk about. Okay. So That's the real motive here, is to get people that can fill in the gaps. And a lot of that is circadian health. Folks, Gary Brecka talks about it now. He's another biohacker. Can't get him out here, but we got other people out here that are just as good, and they're going to blow your mind with a lot of the information. So that's one of the big key components that everybody's missing. And Logan is going to be out there, and he is going to blow your mind along with some of the others out there. So we're putting together a group of people that I don't know that have ever been in the same room together. So that's exactly what we're trying to do with this thing, and also make it affordable. And if you want to, you know, if you're coming, if remember, you can watch this thing online. We'll have a live stream of it. Okay. But if you want to come there and you're like, man, I can't afford a hotel. I mean, who can these days, man? There's a campground out there. So you want to set up a tent? They got showers out there, man. Do it. I'll do anything I must. I think, son, this is what I think a lot of people don't understand about us. I will go through any length. I will pay any price, really, to get awesome information. That's how I roll. Always been that way. I will spend, we spend more money on education than anything around here. I am not lying, y'all. We spend so much money on continuing education, not from some school or something like that, although Michelle did just take a marketing class from some university. Nine times out of 10, this is money we pay out of our pockets. So this is exactly, I will spend, folks, you would not even believe the money I spent just to find out one piece of information, because that's how important it is to me. That's how hidden a lot of the things are today. So anyway, that's going to be October 27th through the 31st. TPC will get you 5% off. And then EMF rocks. Oh, and by the way, we got another sponsorship for the show. It hasn't fully, everybody keeps asking me, where do I get these blue light blockers? And I didn't want to tell you a company that had satanic imagery on the side of it. Okay. So we found one that's just as good, and we'll let you know, hopefully by next program, we'll have them locked in and I can give you the name for all that. But yeah, everybody keeps asking about these glasses, but I've had some other ones. We've tried them, not been crazy about them. The Midwest things, I don't think they get it all. So I know Raw Optics works. That's the ones I got on right now, but I'm not promoting them. You change up your imagery, then we'll talk, but I don't think so. But anyway, we got another one lined up, and I'll let you know what that is next program. But anyway, EMF rocks, 10% off with promo code Perma Williams, holding up one right now. I got mine. Oh, shoot, I left mine sitting outside. Michelle, if you're listening, do you mind grabbing those EMF rocks outside before they decide to spray and make it rain real quick? Yeah, you don't want to get them wet, but I was out there recharging it by getting it grounded. So anyway, EMF rocks, 10% off with promo code Perma. All right. So let me just jump in. I'm going to kind of breeze through some of these articles so we can get into it. The methylation switch. Scientists identify a diet that can turn back the cellular clock. Now, some of these things, they're talking about the herbs that are readily available that can honestly set the clock back as far as your biological age. Like, I'm 55, right? But my biological age, according to the tests, is 51. So, I mean, I'm going to kick it back even more, and I'll talk to you about some of that here in a minute because I got more on that. I'm going to be talking more and more and more about health, folks, and how it applies on the farm, because a lot of this stuff you can grow. Some of it, maybe not. So anyway, some of the things they suggest in this article are these key six foods that really, really help with that very thing is going to be turmeric, ding, 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 rosemary, garlic, berries, green tea, and oolong tea. I think that's how you pronounce that one. Well, I take all of those, but the green tea and the oolong tea, because I have a genetic, green tea doesn't, I'll put it this way. Green tea doesn't work well with me with the COMT gene issue that I have. And in fact, I think it might be extending its way into coffee too, because now your mom doesn't drink coffee anymore. And I'm drinking decaf, and I'm about to get rid of that because honestly, I don't know if they're doing something to it now. But coffee is just making me feel absolutely awful these days. Never been that way in my life, but all of a sudden it is. But anyway, think about some of these things you can acquire easily. Turmeric, y'all. I mean, I take this every single day. Rosemary, I need to be taking more of it since we got it so prolifically out here. Garlic, never miss a day without it. It's good for everything. And then the berries, of course, we have plenty of those. I'm not eating them right now because they're not in season, but I am eating other things that are like purple potato, sweet potatoes and regular sweet potatoes and stuff like that. Things that are very, very local. So anyway, that's one article right there. And that's,
and keep in mind, like, none of that stuff is going to work unless you get sun.
Thank you very much for pointing that out. Son, I was talking to your mom today about all these health strategies, whether it's eating carnivore, keto, whatever the case may be, folks, you've been not told the entire story on that. Go listen, and he's got all the receipts. Listen to Logan at Sowing Prosperity podcast, and also obviously Dr. Cruz. Listen to Dr. Alexis Cowan. All of these health gurus out there telling you, yeah, they're telling you a good diet, but what they're not telling you is that it does not work unless you see the morning sun. If that super cosmetic nucleus in the back of your eye, your anterior pituitary, is not being stimulated, then all these other diets, you're not working in the TCA cycle. It's not working for you. Barbara O'Neill hits up some of this stuff, but I find a lot that a lot of people dismiss. Barbara covers pretty much all of this. She puts more emphasis on certain things than others. But what I find out is that people only cut and paste the easy part of what Barbara's telling them to do. And that's with everybody, with all of these hackers out there. Everybody's only here. They only hear the herbs, eat this and do that from Barbara. But they dismiss the whole part about her talking about being active, getting sun, the whole nine yards. Folks, the sun is not bad for you. It is, in fact, well, I'm not even going to get into it right now, because if I do, if I go down this trail right now, it'll blow your mind. But honestly, if you're out there with sufficient sun, you don't even need to eat. Yeah, Dr. Alexis Cowan made that case. And I think it's well proven, because I can get into glycolysis and all that kind of crazy stuff. It'll make your head explode. But the point of it being is your mind, well, I just said, look, I'm wearing the shirt right here. What does it say, son?
Make mitochondria great again.
Yep. And it all starts with getting that morning sun. And then depending on your health concerns, you want to get evening sun as well. I'm not saying I got it all figured out, y'all. I just know that I am kicking up every single, when I look up in that sky every single day and I see aluminum, barium, strontium, all of that garbage being dropped from the sky every single day, I'm like, okay, now how do I chelate it out of me? How do I get it out? How do I possibly do this? I mean, Dr. Group was talking about how at the Living Healing for the Ages conference, he would tell people to do a liver detox once every half a year, or once every quarter, depending on the person. Now he's telling them to do it like once a week. That's how much they're toxifying everything around us. So folks, didn't mean to go down that rabbit hole. I'm just telling you, hey, you got to get that morning sun along with the other things. So add that to everything I'm talking about here. Here's another one. Cocoa compound linked to slower biological aging, study shows. Now, folks, this ain't Nestle's, okay?
No.
No, you want dark, legit, you know, cocoa. And I try not to get much of it because it's not, we don't grow it here. So I told y'all I'm trying to eat as local as I possibly can. Now, one day a week, which is usually on Saturday, I'll twist off and eat something that's outside of the realm. I'm even going to put the brakes on that, I think, for a while. But cocoa, I mean, yeah, it has its blessings. But, hey, man, don't think that going out there getting a Nestle's bar is the way to go. You need the really, really, you know, the good stuff. So just keep that in mind. And then the third one, I kind of hinted at it a moment ago. This one isn't even an article. If you go to Dr. Group's X page or Twitter page, I hate calling it X. Anyway, you go to his Twitter page and he has this video on there and the guy's information is just absolutely spot on. There's a few of them you really want to see. One of them is how to harvest your own stem cells instead of spending a fortune. You may not like how that goes down or what he recommends, but he tells you one way in which you can harvest your stem cells. I have yet to do it that way. I'm examining. I'm going to look into it a little bit more, but I have no problem giving it a shot. The other way, he was talking about that a 14-day fast. This is like, bro, they just like came out with this. I think other people have known it for a while that a 14-day fast can reduce your biological age by 50%. Okay. A 14-day fast. Now, I ain't, you know, that ain't exactly on the radar anytime soon for me, but I am about to do a serious cleansing fast where, I mean, fasting in and of itself is meant to cleanse you anyway. I'm going to do a 3-day fast with 2 days prior drinking bone broth and 3 days afterwards doing bone broth. And then also flushing my, small intestine, yeah, I got more research to do on exactly how to do that right. Don't, you know, it's not a big deal for me to fast for 3 days. I just did it a little while ago. But yes, you will feel like $1 million if you can manage to do this stuff, especially after all the crap everybody was eating through the holidays. It might not be a bad idea for a whole lot of people out there. So, Yeah, I'll just say that again. 14-day fast can reduce your biological age by 50%. So, yeah, go check out Dr. Group on X and get a lot of... folks, a lot of this information is absolutely free. You know, people are spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to go get stem cells down in Guatemala or wherever they're going, or Panama, when you can get stuff that's light years better that came from your own body. You just may not like where it came from, but, you know, hey, I may give this thing. I mean, anything I can do to remove the toxins from my body, I'm seriously looking into it. All right. We don't have anything from Eric tonight, even though he thinks we might, but I'm pretty sure we don't. My chronic silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA. So now we're going to get, so this show isn't going all night long. We made a top 10 list. I'm going to do five. William's going to do five. I don't know what he's going to say. He doesn't know what I'm going to say. The 10 things we no longer believe.
Hey, Dad, real quick. Is this it? Is this the stem cells?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I went through his, okay, for the people that are listening to the audio format, he says, you got to drink more pee, huh? Well, you know, everybody, we've been, look, y'all, I don't waste my urine. I capture, I mean, there's jugs out there in the garage. I put it all in compost, around trees, in mulch. I don't waste it. Putting it down a toilet and then wasting a gallon and a half of water to flush it, that seems like total insanity to me. Now, if something's coming out the other end, obviously, I'm not saving that, okay? No. Although you could do human ore. There are people that do that. It's just, yeah, I'm just not interested in doing that right now. Certainly not in the situation, in the current situation we have right now, but I would not be opposed to it. There are some pretty awesome ways in dealing with that. But anyway, with the urine, I wasn't a hard sell on the list on this. Folks, I did a video a while back on how I get rid of tree stumps. Some of the folks said I was crazy, but do it for a year. Do what I tell you for a year on tree stumps and tell me you can't just kick it over with your foot. So, son, if I take my urine and combine it to a tree stump that I drilled a bunch of holes in the top of it, you know, and then ran my Unibit down there to kind of make something of a funnel, what's going to happen when I put urine on that tree stump?
It's going to start decomposing. That's exactly what you would do for compost. I mean, the tree is going to be super high carbon, and then you're putting a one-to-one nitrogen component in that tree, and it's wood, so it's going to soak it in too. So you're just going to for sure kill that tree. For those of you guys that are trying to get rid of like persistent stumps, do that, and it'll definitely get rid of it. I remember whenever we came out with that video, my brother-in-law, he started doing that. He was cutting down trees and drilling holes and peeing on it. And he's like, hey, this actually works.
Yeah, it does work. I learned it from an old timer a long time ago. And, you know, a year later. So, I mean, think about it. You're keeping all that biomass in the ground instead of going out there. I mean, you can go get a stump grinder and stuff like, you know, and stuff like that. But you still got the stump there. Go ahead and drill some holes down on the top of that. Collect your urine and pour it down those stumps and watch what happens. Collect your urine. Put it in your compost piles. Watch what happens. Collect your urine. Put it around your trees. Watch what happens, folks. I am not wasting, because, and Dr. Group even talks about that in the course that I took from him, and folks, as part of that continuing education I was talking about, where the microbes will tailor make things for you if you put it in your compost, if you put it in your gardens, if you put it around your trees. They are now... It's too much detail that I'm not even prepared to go through it right now. But yeah, in a nutshell, that's exactly what it comes down to, folks. Let's see here. What does Colleen say? We've had sun here for a week in North Idaho. Well, I'm glad for that. I know people out there like Eric hasn't seen the sun in 3 weeks in Sacramento, California, y'all. Man. Absolute fog all over Southern California forever and a day. And nobody's even saying, hey, this ain't normal. Most people are just walking around just like freaking zombies. I mean, like you said when you were little, son, it's no wonder that these power elite want to kill everybody. When you see that, I mean, I remember you said that back when you were in high school.
Yeah, I think I was younger when I said that.
No, like well, you might have been, because you were driving at 14. So
yeah. I remember that day I was frustrated. And I was like, I get it. And it was like Chris Tucker, Chris Rock, that one skit where he's like, I can't condone this, but I understand.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I totally get it. So back to where I was going with this, 10 things we no longer believe. I guess I'll just start this one off, son. Okay, I'll save the more incendiary stuff for the back, for the late. Well, I don't know where you're going to go. Okay, number one on my list is that schools teach anything worthwhile. And what I'm trying to say here is Mark Twain has written extensively about this very thing. Shakespeare to a lesser degree. But it is all indoctrination these days. I'm not saying that you can't be homeschooled, but I know this much. Everybody brags every time I do a podcast with William or I go somewhere with him. Everybody is totally impressed at how educated my son is. What they don't realize is that he is self-taught. He is an autodidact. That is what everybody taught their children to be up until about 150 years ago. And two things happened in the United States of America at exactly the same time. Number one, the trivium was removed from the one with the wall, the one room schoolhouse, and compulsory education took its place. Number one. Number two, the pre-tribulation rapture came in at exactly the same time. So these Christian people who once stood up for everything now stand for nothing. Oh, because we're going to get out of here. So two things were introduced 150 years ago at the same time. And then you have a book written by Charlotte Iserby. She was in the Reagan administration in the Department of Education, and she wrote the book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. I recommend everybody check that book out. And once you do, you'll realize, okay, even if you have to send your kid off to public school, the best education they're going to get in most cases is going to be around that dinner table at night. So depending on your situation, or maybe you just can't make it, you can't swing it, you're going to have to be the one to teach them. I had to teach, you know, my son the trivium. I had to learn all this stuff myself. I was never taught this stuff. But yeah, schools don't teach anything. Well, there's a couple of things maybe they might get right, but by and large, Ben Franklin never went to a regular school. Look at him. Okay? I mean, he read his bio, or I think it was an autobiography. I got it downstairs. I read it years ago. And if I remember right, he was never even taught to read. Ever. Ever. And every one of the founding fathers, depending on whether you like them or hate them, they were all autodidacts. And that's what everybody was in this country until about 150 years ago. Okay, son, your turn.
All right. So just like Dad, some of mine are going to be pretty incendiary. And just keep in mind, I'm not, how do I say this? I'm not calling anybody out in particular. These are things that I have found to be true. So just keep that in mind. I'm not calling anybody out. You'll see what I'm talking about. So I no longer think that the names of God and Jesus are God and Jesus. The third commandment tells us to not use his name in vain. The Thayer's and the Strong's definition for vain is to bring to nothingness, to useless, of no purpose. And by calling him God, which is a category, translates to Elohim, it's a category. It's bringing his name to nothingness. It's not using his name. Joel 2:32, in fact, I brought some scripture up. Let me read it word for word. Joel 2:32 out of the King James. All these verses are going to be out of the King James. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. So there, right there, it shows like name of the Lord. Lord isn't his name. The name of the Lord. And then Romans 10:13 also goes into for whosoever shall come call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. there's a bunch of others, but they both suggest that the Lord has a name, and his name also isn't Lord for another reason, that Lord directly translates to Baal. It's what it directly translates to. So we're given in Exodus, there's a time where Moses is revealed the name, and it's YHWH. And then it shows up, if you look at the original Hebrew text and everything, it shows up over 6,000 times is YHWH in Hebrew. And then also in the Paleo Hebrew that we find in the curse tablets that were discovered at the base of Mount Ebal. And then also in a bunch of canonized scripture within the Dead Sea Scrolls, YHWH. A lot of people, there's a couple of different camps on the pronunciation of YHWH. There's a Yahuwah. That's what I use, is Yahuwah. And then there's also Yahweh. A lot of people use Yahweh as well. Now, Jesus. Name isn't Jesus. First of all, the letter J didn't exist then. Even in the King James 1611, it was transliterated from Hebrew to Greek, and they used Iesus. Now, if we do like a breakdown of Iesus, and E stands for behold, or means behold in English. Zeus means Zeus, and we have proof of that in Dionysus, which means son of Zeus. Tarsus means arm of Zeus. Pegasus means horse of Zeus. So what Jesus actually, or Jesus, means in Greek is behold Zeus. And then the angel, whenever she was pregnant, was also told that, or before she was pregnant, was also told that her son's name would have meaning. And Jesus, like, by itself, if you directly try to decipher the definition of Jesus, doesn't have a meaning. It doesn't translate into anything. There's other translations that they add to Jesus because that was the role that they were wanting to him, this name to fill, but they don't translate over to that. So a more accurate name for the Messiah would be either Yahusha or Yeshua, which literally means Yah is salvation. And Yah, again, is backed up in the Psalms with David using Yah. So that's the understanding that I've come to. By no means, and now keep in mind, there are a lot of people that will say, like, oh, you're not saved if you don't use the proper names. I'm not of that camp. I think that's a pretty hard stance to take. And then also, I don't think that's a good way to get people to see your perspective of what you may have discovered, is by saying, oh, if you don't use these names, then you're not saved, or anything like that. This is just the understanding that I've come to know. On to you, Dad.
Well, William, keep in mind, we're going to have to kind of condense things a little bit because we got 10 of them to get through here. So, okay. Just for the record, I disagree with everything he said there. I mean, just because he says something doesn't mean I agree with it. And just because I say something doesn't mean he agrees with it. I'm opposed in a big way. I don't see it that way, but I'm not going to get into a debate right now about it. For a whole bunch of reasons. But anyway, my next one is allopathic doctors have answers to chronic illness. No, they don't. That's why we got the Sovereign Health Summit going on. They don't have answers to chronic illness. Now, you get hit by a car, you got a broken leg, you got all these things. But I was, one of my oldest brother is he's a doctor with board certification in five specialties. And he's got more degrees than a thermometer, but no common sense at all. And this is the same doctor that told me that, you know, years ago, I'm sure he would deny it now, but told me that vitamins and minerals, you know, you get plenty from your food. And I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe 100 years ago you did, but you don't now. Anyway, yeah, I even got him to admit one time that the only thing they got right is diagnosis. So because of that reason is the whole reason we started the Sovereign Health Summit, is because there's a story of Gary Brecka out there, and there's some heart surgeon that was reaching out to him after he told him he was going to kill Dana White. He healed him, and then the MD is calling him up asking him how he did it. So no, allopathic MD does not mean medical deity. Back to you.
The second one is that the Messiah is not sitting up in heaven just chilling, watching us doing nothing. This is something that a lot of mainstream churches will have you believe, is like, oh yeah, he died for our sins and now he's in up in heaven and he's just chilling there. Well, all of Hebrews talks about the priesthood of the Messiah, what he's actually doing up there. And then also Psalm 110, David goes back into saying that he's 110 verse 4, Yahuwah hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This was a big eye opener for me. It was like, I didn't realize like there was actually like actions and like mediation and things like that that the Messiah was doing on our behalf. Because if you go to mainstream church, I can't think of one sermon that I've ever been to at church that was talking about like the priesthood of Yahusha or anything like that. Like they, yeah, and then he makes judgment based on the commands of his father.
I never heard anything about the order of Melchizedek. It was never, ever, ever, in any time I've ever went to church in my life, it was never brought up.
I think I vaguely remember one time where it was in reference to Abraham, like Abraham went and visited Melchizedek, but we don't know anything about Melchizedek. And that was the beginning and end of what I've heard.
Right. Even though it's brought up again in Hebrews, Hebrews 7, I want to say, or it may be 6.
I think 5.
Okay. I know it's in Hebrews, but there it is. I mean, and Paul squeezes everything about that. No, it was never brought up. But son, to that point, they gloss over everything in Genesis 6. I'm like,
yeah.
How do you read the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and then they just, oh, that's not, I remember bringing it up to a buddy of mine back in Missouri, and he's like, yeah, I talked to my dad. He said there's nothing to it. I'm like, well, what do you think? I know what your dad said. What are your thoughts? I mean, you just glossed this over? I don't know. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump in there.
No, but you're good. That was it. I mean, I think the failing point for a lot of people who say they believe in the Bible but don't necessarily read it for themselves is that they don't read it for themselves. They're depending on, and this kind of gets into my last point a little bit, but I won't get into it all the way. They're depending on somebody else to do the study and the research and then present the topic to them. I think that's a lot of the issue.
Okay. My next one is going to be the nature of the cosmos. Okay. Remember, we're talking about the things we no longer believe. You know, all of us were indoctrinated to believe that we live on a ball. And I don't know what I don't know what shape it is, but let's just do a thought experiment here, because I did this one years ago and I have yet for somebody to explain this to me. Okay. According to Edwin Hubble, the universe and everything else in it, according to science, not only is the universe expanding, it's accelerating. Okay, if that be the case, then tell me, how is it the great pyramids of Giza and the ones down in Mexico all line perfectly with Orion's belt? If everything's going, if it's expanding, it's been there for thousands and thousands of years, but they still align perfectly, tells me that things are pretty darn static, that they were put in place, that maybe things aren't exactly as they told us. I've been asking that question forever and a day, long before. I'm not saying the earth is flat. I'm saying it ain't no ball. Here's another good point. Stand on the edge of an ocean. Watch a ship go away. You're told that it went below the horizon. Break out a pair of binoculars. Guess what? It's right there. And you can see it at the waterline too. Get a seriously good camera and you can see it as well. I don't know what the nature of it is. I don't know how it's constructed. I just know that everything they told me was a lie. And I mean everything. And in fact, I went out. You can ask your mom. We were at this place over in Ken and Amy. You might, well, doggone it, this place is gone. It was an ice cream shop over in, what is that town? Hot Springs. And inside that ice cream shop, they had this dictionary that was about 100 years old. Go in there and look up the word firmament in that 100-year-old dictionary. And then go look at it on the regular, on the definition they give now. Two very different definitions. So when they talk about a firmament, I'm like, okay, So we've been to the moon. We did all this. I'd like to know, did anybody ever go pick up that astronaut they used, you know, when they were filming, when they shot off from the moon? All of this stuff is fake and gay. So anyway, I'll leave it right there. Nature of the cosmos. Everything's a lie.
Yeah, I agree. I don't, like you, I don't know the shape of the earth, and it might be something humans may not even be able to understand, the full shape of the earth or even how it's laid out or anything like that. It definitely ain't what they told us it is. Their own math disproves it ain't the shape that they said it is.
How is, like, Scipio Eruditus from Dispatches from Reality, I mean, when he's sitting here with I can't remember the name of the camera, went down there in Florida. I think he was looking at a place 50 miles away, and he's looking at it at the waterline. If we are on a ball, that is an impossibility. Cannot be there. So once again, look, I mean, ask some pilots out there, because I know a couple of them, you know, fighter pilots. Ask them if the world, I mean, you're going to have to find some honest ones. Ask them if they have to constantly nose their plane down as they fly. Because if you live on a ball, you'd fly right off of it, wouldn't you? Well, no pilot does that.
Yeah. Yeah. The next one is, I no longer believe that the commandments were done away with. 1 John 3:4, whosoever committeth a sin transgresseth, King James, you transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of law. And then also Matthew 5:17, this is from the words of the Messiah. Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commands and so shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but also shall do and teach them, and the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So using scripture to define scripture, righteousness from Deuteronomy 6:25, and it is righteousness for us when we guard to do all this command before Yahuwah or Elohim. And then we also get into Luke 24:44-46. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. And this is talking about the fulfilled aspect of Matthew 5. And like, this is what he, well, not Matthew 5, but when he was on the cross, his last words were, it's fulfilled. This is what he's referring to in Luke. Because one of the common arguments against this scripture is like, look, he said it was fulfilled, even though the timeline given is like not one yod or tittle shall change until heaven and earth pass. So whenever he's saying it's fulfilled on the cross, he's not referring to the Torah. He's referring to his testimony, which he's talking about in Luke 24:44-46. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus is it behooved Yahushua to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And then James 2:14-26 goes into the belief without works. It's like, I won't read it because 14 through 26 can be long and we're short on time, but faith without works is dead. Also says, thou believest that there is one Elohim, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now, what he's getting at here is like, faith without action, faith without works means nothing. And I was asking, when I was searching this stuff out, I was asking, well, what are these works? And I believe them to be the commandments. And then going back to Proverbs 29:18, which was a verse we actually read Monday, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And then also Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I don't believe the duty of man has changed between the Old and the New Testament. Now, some of the common arguments against this is that there's 613 laws. Are you paying attention to all these laws? No. Most of these laws, not most of them, but a lot of these laws don't apply to me. A lot of these are for the priesthood, which we no longer have like an earthly priest. So a lot of these I don't have to pay attention to. But all that do apply to me, all that I notice that do apply to me, I try to do my best to keep them. Also, some of these laws are specific for women. Some of these laws are specific for men. Some of these laws are specific for farmers. And then some of these laws we're obeying more laws being on YouTube right now than we are following the commands in scripture. But yeah, on to you, Dad.
All right. So the last two are probably going to hack some people off. Okay. So 10 things I no longer believe. That America is a force for good. I no longer believe that. I was brought up to believe that. I was indoctrinated to believe that. We have 900 military bases in 130 countries. That makes us an empire. An empire unrivaled in human history. Not even close second. Take all the other empires combined and they're not even in the ballpark. 900 military bases in 130 countries. And we're told we live in the best place on earth. Well, I could go through just from the top of my head. I could sit here and monologue for hours on all the things that are unfolding right now. We're told that we are a force for good. Folks, William brought it up a little bit earlier. We were a party to a flipping genocide in the Middle East. And this is just one. That's a genocide that they did. We've caused, I mean, that genocide has nothing compared to the one that Fauci did and Trump endorsed, and Biden was a part of. Both sides of the aisle were in on it. Yeah, we're told we're a force for good. No, I don't believe that anymore. I was indoctrinated to believe it, but proof. Go all the way back to Anthony Sutton, okay, on the books he wrote. go back and look at all the history, and I could give it to you right now, once again, from the top of my head, regarding World War One, World War Two. Yeah, we had the Milner Group over in England and all these others that were in on it, but so were our people too. Now, we walk blindly into a lot of this stuff, ignorantly, but in the modern day, that's no excuse, because you got more information at the fingertips right now than all the world combined. And I think, honestly, when the history book is written, and you're hearing this coming from, look, we're all veterans on this, me and my wife both, okay? So when I say this, I say it with a heavy heart. America, when the history books are written, will have come out to be the biggest bully in human history. I mean, look at what we did in Operation Condor. We murdered every single leader in South America, practically. And I don't even read Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. Then read Vulture's Picnic by Greg Palast, which is basically a quasi part two to that first one. And you tell me that we're a force for good in this planet? I don't think so. There's a lot of other countries out there where people are attempting to really live the American dream. And it seems like the president of El Salvador seems a more George Washington-esque character than anything we got here in the United States of Amnesia. So that's one that's going to tick everybody off. Back to you.
Well, also on that note, if you look at the origins of the United States, it really isn't surprising. It isn't too shocking. Look how they laid out D.C. Look what all the founding fathers were into. All the, like, whenever they made it, you know, freedom of religion, it wasn't for, like, Christians. That wasn't what they were trying to protect. They were trying to protect their rituals and everything and make sure that those wouldn't be tampered with. So, I mean, it's not surprising that we're in the place that we're in right now as far as that. So the next one is, I no longer believe in, like, what's portrayed as heaven and hell. I think Sheol is a much better fit and much more biblical fit than what's considered like heaven and hell. Luke 16 talks about the two men that died. And then they're describing like this underground area. One side is like for the unrighteous. And then the other side is for the righteous. Luke 16, read that. That's a little bit of a lengthy read to read here on the podcast, but there's a righteous side, there's an unrighteous side, and it's separated by a chasm. The righteous side being called Abraham's bosom. Also, Psalm 88 talks about, David is talking about like his body's ready to go down to Sheol. A lot of people seem to be like equating that to hell, but knowing what we know about like David, it seems odd that, you know, he'd be going to hell. Also, Hebrews 11:39-40 talks about Sheol. But also, Messiah says, fear him who can destroy the body and the soul. So destroying the body and the soul, either you're making it to the kingdom or you will be destroyed. If you're going to hell, the way that the mainstream church talks about it, you're not dying. You're suffering eternally. You're suffering forever. You're alive for that suffering. So that would suggest that your body and mind your body and soul haven't been destroyed. Whereas scripture talks about being tossed into the lake of fire, being destroyed at that point. The ones that are suffering forever are the fallen messengers. The watchers, those are the ones that are being like suffering endlessly and forever. Also, and then you look at the origins of like when heaven and hell started, you realize like a lot of this was a control. It was a control method by the Catholic Church, and knowing what we know about the Catholic Church, that fits right in, especially when you're in a time period where not everybody has access to scripture, and the scripture you do have is all Latin, and nobody around you speaks Latin. So yeah, there's that. On to you, Dad.
Well, I'm not going to beat up exclusively on the Catholic Church, because it's mostly the evangelicals here in the United States of Amnesia that are biggest cheerleaders for genocide right now. So, I mean, this is why I call myself a follower of Jesus. I don't subscribe to any of these things. I used to be, you know, I ain't going to say I've done them all, man, but I've been to Pentecostal, I've been to Baptist, I've been to Lutheran, even the Catholic service once, which was kind of weird. But I mean,
I bet.
Yeah, that was weird. anyway, I mean, all of them to some, I mean, it was more weird than a Pentecostal thing, but no, I get pieces of some of this stuff and I understand where it comes from, but this is why, you know, I'm going to rightly divide the truth for myself. And there's a whole lot of new stuff that a lot of people are into right now. I'm like, okay, what were they talking about 150 years ago? Like I said, there was a whole lot of things that happened about 150 years ago. And, you know, there's a lot of other things that I'm bitterly opposed to, but it's not, I guess this isn't time or place for me to talk about that. So my number one thing is going to be, and this might be incendiary, maybe not so much for this crowd, but that the people in that country in the Middle East are the chosen people. That's my number one thing. I was once again brought up to believe this stuff. Oh, you know, and then go read it for yourself. Go to Genesis 12 and read it for yourself. And you'll find out that it is a singular statement. But the Scofield, I don't even want to call that thing, the Scofield Study Bible, let's call it that, or whatever they call it these days. You know, C.I. Scofield comes out of nowhere. The guy was a complete freaking charlatan. People that most evangelicals revere as church fathers of 100, 150 years ago, they denounced this guy and his doctrine up one side and down the other. Nobody bought it. But because if you look at the people who were backing Cyrus Scofield, all of a sudden they beat it. They chipped at it. Nobody ever believed. So what happened in 1948 over there, I don't believe was, okay, name one time God ever brought these people back to the promised land without repentance. Name one time. What happened? They'd sit here and screw up, and then they'd be kicked out or dealt with or made slaves for a while. Then they'd repent, they'd come back. Huh. I don't recall some mass repentance. In fact, these folks don't even know who they are anymore. If you will read the work of Philo and Josephus and you look at the destruction of Jerusalem, it was the most comprehensive butt-kicking military it was the biggest butt kicking in military history. There is not even a close second. Everybody that wasn't, they were either made slaves, they were whatever. Anyway, they don't know what their genealogy is. And like I said, there's a reason why you can't test any blood over there. There's a whole reason why. And in fact, they come to find out that the real Semitic people over there are actually the Palestinians. Like I said, I don't care about winning any friends on this. I'm going to tell you exactly what I no longer believe. And that was a lie that was fed to me my whole life. And of all the lies I've ever been taught, of all the things I no longer believe, folks, that has been, it has been the hardest one for me to unseat in my mind. It's been the hardest one. So, yeah, I'll kick it on over to you.
Yeah, the last one is something that you actually touched on. And by the way, I totally agree with what Dad said. And also, bloodline has absolutely nothing to do with it. Like Paul makes very, very clear, is like, if it was sons of Abraham, Yahuwah could raise sons of Abraham from these rocks right here. So yeah, bloodline has absolutely nothing to do with it. But this was something that Dad actually brought up earlier before we even got into the 10 points. But no longer believing what people say and examining what they do. Like Dad, I can think of multiple times that you and I both, had we paid more attention to what people were actually doing and not saying, we could have saved ourselves a ton of headache and a ton of like just strife and arguments and issues and accidentally misleading other people. If we would have just paid and like, honestly, if we would have listened to mom more, we would have had far less headaches. But that's my point though, is being like, stop believing what people are saying, examine their actions, and then pay attention to those, because those are going to speak louder than, honestly, words. And then Matthew 7:16 says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And then, Dad, if you wanted to recite Psalm 1, that puts a stamp on it for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean,
well, I can read it if you want.
Well, no, I mean, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Yeah, man, I had to dig into my mental Rolodex. I didn't know you were going to ask me to do that. So,
Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, pick any Psalm 1 through 91, y'all, and I'll lay it out for you. But the no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that was it. I'm just going to stop paying attention. Like, yeah, what people are saying is, you know, good and nice and y'all, but I'm paying attention to actions now. I'm paying attention to what you're actually doing, if you're producing good fruits or if you're not producing good fruits, and I'll let that speak for itself.
Well, and then in some of those cases, y'all, the reason, like some of getting into some of what William was saying there, the ones in your own house could be or your family rather, could be the very actions you need to be watching out for. I mean, the biggest disasters in my life, from a farming standpoint, from a business standpoint, all the way around, folks, if you only knew the thousands and thousands of dollars I lost teaming up with family members that I should have knew right from the very beginning. We're all talk, we're all hat, no cattle. I could have saved myself not only there, but in other areas as well. Now, these days, I am so cautious, so careful about who I team up with anymore than it's honestly, if you have no fruit that's showing me, man, I'm trying to figure out how to say some of this stuff without calling anybody out in particular, but if you're not showing any fruits, ain't going to be a part of it. And just because they're family, y'all, doesn't make them good for you.
Yeah.
That, in fact, in many ways, they might actually be worse in some ways. So, yeah. So in a nutshell, there you go. I mean, I could have easily come up. I mean, if we wanted this show to be 5 hours long, I'm serious. I could have easily made a list of about 50 things. And folks, reexamine your lives. Reexamine all the things that you believe and ask yourself to prove it to yourself. Examine all this stuff and say, look, does it make sense to me? Huh? I know this is what I've been taught, but does it make sense? Is it true? There are so many things in my life. And in fact, I mean, I'm to the point now, and it serves me quite well, that no matter what is officially told to me, there was a defector from Russia. And I think in a nutshell, I think I can kind of end it this way. Yuri Bezmenov was his name. A lot of you may have heard of him before. And I love Russians so much. I've worked with some before, and they got the quirkiest, funniest sense of humor to me. And yeah. Yuri Bezmenov said, they just have this sense of humor that just I find hysterical. And he says, you know, I forget somebody, it was in the Q&A session, and somebody asked Yuri Bezmenov about the media system here in America. And they were trying to make it a left-right thing. He said, you know what? In Russia, we had a media system that was bad as yours. He said, but the only difference was nobody in Russia believed it. He said, our media system was every bit as bad as yours, but the only difference was you people are too stupid in America to believe them. Nobody in Russia believed it. That tells you everything you need to know. And now here we are because somebody is in your camp or whatever. Folks, I'm just saying, examine everything you think. You think this person is a hero? Maybe they aren't. Or the ones you've been told in history are heroes, maybe they're not. Maybe the ones that were demonized in history were not the demons they said they were. Some of them, mostly all of them were from my examination, but there's one that isn't quite as bad as everybody lets on. Maybe they'll do another program on that one sometimes. But Lincoln, don't get me started on President Lincoln. The guy was a scumbag up one side and down the other. Okay, I just got started. But anyway, I got to go read The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo and then come back and talk to me. I sent that book off to Joel Salatin. Joel, whenever we're together, we often talk about Civil War stuff and stuff like that. And plus, he's right there in the Shenandoah Valley, so there's a lot of cool history through there. And and some of it right there on this property. I mean, one of the coolest stories out there. But anyway, sent that book off to Joel, and he read it, and even he was floored, because I don't think Joel's a fan of Lincoln anyway, because he knows the real history there. And when he read that book, man, I think he was about to come unglued, because they're using Lincoln's own words, and it's not taken out of context. They're using the whole statements right there. And Thomas DiLorenzo, he's basically one of those people that is not at all what you thought he was, folks. Son, anything else to add?
Yeah, I wanted to shout out Brent, my one of my neighbors. He came up to me yesterday. Well, I didn't even know he listened to the podcast or watched the live stream, but he came up to me while I was out in the garden the other day. And he's like, you know, I flipped on your dad's channel the other day, and he said it best. He's like, what was it? He said, he's like, it's not the fact that they're lying to me. It's the fact that they believe I'm stupid enough to believe it. He loved it. Yeah. So shout out, Brent. Thanks for listening, buddy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brent. Hey, I want to give a shout out to everybody in the his ass tonight. Man, I'll tell you what, it's I'm going to try to, if people dig these kinds of shows, I mean, honestly, maybe we'll try to do more of them. But I do want to thank everybody for, you know, it's a new year. I am going to try to think. I can't say I'm a positive thinker. I can't say I'm a negative thinker. I try to see things as they are. And I'm going to try to look at things. I'm only going to hope and pray that things get discovered. In fact, I pray this every single night, that these kids that are being, that's something. Yeah, I guess I won't get into that right now. But honestly, all these kids that come up abducted every year, what do you think happens to them? Yeah, somebody's asking, what is the name of that Lincoln book? It's called The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo. So yeah, you can check it out. And that's one of many. I mean, there's a lot of others out there that can do the very same thing. All right, y'all. It's been a joy to be able to hang out with you tonight. Remember, stay safe. Till next time, you know the deal. Stay alert.
Stay alive.
Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, truth, truth. Feeling nature's truth, truth, truth. We got the answers. All we need to do. Listen to the earth. They got us through. Let's see the machine. Watch the world spin. From the smallest sprout to the harmony begin in the cycle of life. For the magic's alive to the